Amen. Thank you, brother. Praise God. So thankful for you being with us this morning. Pray God's blessings on you in a divine, special way today. Thank you for taking your day to be with us. Amen. You could be any number of places, including home, but you have taken a step of faith to be here with us today, and I pray God's blessings on you. We've been in the process of upgrading some technical equipment in the back, and I've had several people call and say, well, Pastor Mike, we hear the worship, it's great, but then when you get up to preach, we see your mouth moving, but we can't hear you. So if you're watching today via Facebook Live, know that that equipment is still in the process. You can go ahead and receive the tithes and offerings, yes. Know that we're still working on the implementation of that equipment today, so I've asked them to, if you're in the room this morning and I'm a little too loud, bear with us, hold your ears a little bit. We're going to turn it up a little bit louder than usual to get to Facebook Live so that we can be a little clearer today because we're going through an iPhone. So the speaker on that iPhone is not as sensitive as going directly through the board. The YouTube video is recorded directly onto a camera where the sound is a lot clearer. But for you Facebook Live, we want you to hear the Word of God today too. So know the views that I told this week that we would have it clear. It's going to be clear, but much clearer next Sunday. Amen? Amen. Well, we're continuing a series today on the gifts of the Spirit, developing the gifts of the Spirit. And today we're on the second gift, and that is faith. Faith. Faith is huge in our walk with the Lord. I mean, it takes faith to receive salvation. It takes faith to receive anything from God. And when we say, God, I receive the gift of salvation, it takes faith to do that because we can't see it. Come your birthday or come Christmas, if I were to hand you a gift, you could see something. It may be an empty box, but at least you can see a box with a bow on it. So you see that I'm giving you something, and you receive that gift so you can touch it, you can see it. Well, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you don't necessarily see with your natural eyes. You have to see with your spiritual eyes. You can sense them as we operate in them, but it's not anything that you can tangibly see. So it takes the gift of faith to receive all the gifts of God. And so we pray for many things today. We're praying for healing, as Crystal so eloquently prayed this morning, and praying for needs and healing of different people and praying for your needs. But we have to receive those by faith. It's kind of like you and your job. You work Monday through Friday to hope to receive that paycheck, right? You don't see it from Monday to Friday, but then at the end of the week, you're trusting that your boss hand delivers that check to you. So really, we operate in faith without knowing it. When I go to the light switch, I flip it on, faith believing that light will come on when I turn on the light switch. When I go to the car, I turn the key, hoping that car will crank up. So we operate in it daily. Maybe it's in a degree of taking for granted, but we need to implement that faith in a much greater way into our spiritual lives to receive the gift that God has given us. So I want to continue that today. Our focus scripture is found in 2 Timothy 1:6. We've entitled this series, Developing Your Gifts. And so 2 Timothy 1:6 says, therefore I remind you to stir up or to develop the gift of God which is in you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you give us ears to hear today, that we'll hear what you're saying to us, and God, that you'll give us a heart that is open to receive what you're having to say. Thank you, Lord, for your gracious, loving kindness, tender mercies, Lord, that you love us, that you're encouraging us, Lord, to draw near to you, to grow in you. And I thank you, Lord, that we're eager to do that today by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul outlines these nine gifts that we're going to be talking about. We actually took the first two gifts last Sunday. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11, it says this: there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So your gift is for you, but it's for everyone else too. For to one in verse 8 is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. Those are the two that we talked about last Sunday. Through the same Spirit, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. Notice that Spirit is capitalized. It's speaking of the Holy Spirit. So these gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. We'll talk about that next Sunday on Father's Day, the gift of healings. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, the different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills, as God wills. So we're talking about faith today. There is a measure of faith that we've all been given. The Bible says in Romans 12:3, just making note of that scripture, that each one of us has been given a measure of faith. And God has given us a measure of faith to adequately receive and to believe for salvation and anything else that we must trust God for. We've all been given that measure of faith. And what we've got to do is nurture that measure of faith and develop that measure of faith where we maintain it in God. It's got to be centered in God. Mark 11:23 and 24, you may not have this, it may not be on the screen, but make a note of Mark 11:23 and 24. It says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," well, you say, well, that takes a lot of faith to talk to a mountain, doesn't it? But it says, "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes," but has faith, "that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." That is huge. "Therefore I say to you," in verse 24 of Mark 11, "whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So our Christian walk is full of tests and situations. I would love to tell you today that when you come to the Lord, when you receive the salvation of God, and when you love God and your life is centered around here, Him, that you'll have no more problems. You don't have to worry about faith. Everything will be perfect in your life. But I must be truthful with you. That's why we have to have faith, that we can trust God, so that we do face tests, we face sickness, we face death, we face financial difficulties, we face the things that we're facing today all around us. When we face those things, we can have faith in God to trust Him even through those times of testing. Without the gift of faith, there are many things that we face that would be impossible for us to make it through. So we've got to have faith. We've got to receive the gift and the measure of faith that God has given us, and we've got to rely on that faith in God. From the Greek, we translate the gift of faith as the actual faith of God. So in Mark 11:22, where it says, "have faith in God," it's really translated in Greek to say the actual faith of God. We can have the faith of God. And so the gift of faith is not subject to our human reasoning. We could talk ourselves right out of believing and trusting God because it doesn't make sense. There's a reason to trust that God's going to work this thing out. When we look at the facts say this. The doctor says this. The report says this. The bank statements say this. But we can go beyond human reasoning and human intellect and believe and trust God and have faith of God, in God, and make it through anything that we face today. And so our human expectations many times, our human expectations always are inclined to expect the worst. I mean, I've said it myself sometimes. I'll say, to prepare somebody for something, I'll say, well, expect the worst and plan for the best. That's not necessarily the best advice. We should expect the best and plan for the best. Really. I mean, I know what I'm saying. I'm trying to encourage you, but that's not necessarily accurate. And so our human expectations, many times we get just exactly what we're expecting because our faith is at that level, and so our faith equals what we're getting. Whereas if our faith is believing the unlimited possibilities of God, if we're saying, "God, I believe you for anything, even the impossible," you know what? You're leaving your life open to receive whatever God wants to pour into it. And I'm here to stand here and tell you today, God always outdoes my plan. He always gives me something better than what I had hoped for or even expected. But if we're not careful, we quench the Spirit by our expectations of being limited. So we might say things like, "Well, I don't really expect that to happen. That's good. I don't expect that to happen." So we say with our mouth what we expect, which is limited, which is not God's plan. Where if we believe that all things are possible with God, then we will also believe that all things are possible with God. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Well, we've just said that faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So when we doubt, when we can't believe, when we don't have faith, we're actually quenching the working of the gift of the Holy Spirit in faith. And so that can hinder the working of faith in our lives. Many of you are believing for impossible situations to come about in your life. You're believing for greater things in your life, and our expectation could limit that faith. I'm not saying that you're not going to receive it. I'm believing that today that there will be so much faith in this room that when you leave here today, you can believe for anything that God wants in your life. You can believe for the impossible. So our gift of faith should be apparent by our expectations. Our expectations should be so high that it reflects our faith in God, not my faith in me. See, what we're able to do is limited. What I can do for you is limited. I can pray for you, I encourage you, I can read the Word of God to you. But what I can physically do for you is limited, but what God can do for you is unlimited. So our expectations to see God work should be limitless. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You've probably been in a place where somebody wants you to pray about a situation. You know, we've spent a fair amount of time at hospice. 16 years ago, Crystal's mom was in hospice. And so we go to pray and believe for God's miracle, his divine healing in those situations. And you say, well, I don't have the faith to pray. But we can pray in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men. Not in the wisdom of what I'm thinking, but in the power of God. And we can pray in faith. Sometimes we have to say it before it gets here, right? God, I trust you. I believe you. Oh, I'm struggling with that thing. You know, so our intellect kicks in. Our ability to want to explain it kicks in. That's our natural tendency. But we can't explain the faith in God. We can't explain the power of God because it's based on men's wisdom at that point then rather than the power of God. But we've got to have our faith rooted and founded in the power of God. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to explain it. We can't understand salvation. We can't explain salvation or say how it works, but it works. So the gift of faith, I believe, is demonstrated here through Peter. Peter loved the Lord, but Peter was very much human. He was like us, and we could probably relate to him in a lot of ways. But in the book of Acts, chapter 3, there's a story here about Peter that I want us to look at today, and I believe that God will give us some things that will help grow our faith. Does anybody need their faith growing today? Amen? Yeah. Amen. So it says in verse 1 through 10 of Acts chapter 3, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So they were headed to the temple to pray. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, it doesn't say how old he was, but it says he was lame from his mother's womb. It says he was a man, right? So he was old enough to know. So he was laying, a certain man laying by his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said this, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. I'm assuming he was expecting to receive some money, some, you know, something to kind of get him through that day. And then Peter said to him in verse 6, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate. This is that same guy at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. How many know that the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? So the same God that brought this miracle, the same God that worked through Peter to bring this miracle in this man's life to the point to where he he was walking and leaping and praising God is the same God that we serve today, that we're talking about, that we're singing about, that can bring about a miracle in your life, even including causing the crippled man to walk. Do y'all believe that? So we've established that God is trustworthy to bring about the miracle in your life. But what have we got to do? There's a place that we must get to trust the gift of faith that God has established in us, given us, to believe the same way that Peter believed when he talked to this lame man to walk. So I would say that maybe our needs today to see a lame man walk that was born that way, to get up and walk and leap and praise God, our needs may not be quite that big. There are some that maybe are bigger. But I want to give you 5 steps, I believe, that will bring our faith to a level, the same level of Peter's faith that he believed for as he spoke and saw this miracle happen. The first thing that we see, where was Peter headed when this miracle happened? He was headed to the temple to pray. Be here tomorrow night at 6:30 for prayer, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Prayer increases faith. Prayer increases faith. The more we pray, the more our faith builds. The more we see results. The more we see miraculous things happen. Say, well, how could prayer change? See, prayer doesn't necessarily change God's mind in a situation, but it certainly does change my attitude toward the situation. And it opens up my heart to believe God even more. When we pray, when we believe, and we have a lot of prayer requests that we meet and pray for on Monday nights and have been praying for some time, when we see God move in those situations, it builds our faith. It's like, wow, we're seeing things happen. There's a power in prayer that I cannot explain. But the more we pray, the more our faith increases. The more I pray, the more I can believe for the impossible. I'm actually, as I'm praying, I'm taking on the mind of Christ. All the things that we read about in the Bible, we say, well, how is that even possible? The more you pray, the more you realize that this is actually more than words on a page. It's something that God wants to get in my heart and get into my life to where it changes me to be more like Him. Prayer increases our faith. I believe that as Peter was walking to the temple to pray, he was already in a heart and an attitude of prayer. So prayer was already on his heart. It was a priority in his life to pray. And who was Peter praying to? He was praying to God. What was Peter praying about? Well, Peter probably had some of the same needs and situations in his life that we have in our life today. He didn't have car trouble, but maybe he had a horse that was limping, you know. So there were still similar things in his life that was just as important to Peter. I knew Paul was in jail, and so Paul was praying, you know, and not that we're going to be in jail, but some things in our life could be hindering us and holding us back. Chains to where we need God to come through and to set us free. And so Peter was praying about some things that were important to him. But the gift of faith was operating in Peter's life, as we see, I believe, because he was in an attitude and a heart and a focus of prayer. You'll recognize the presence of faith when everything you experience is looked at as another way for faith to deliver a miracle. Probably need to repeat that. You will recognize the presence of faith in your life when everything that you experience, everything that you face, every difficult situation in your life is looked at as another opportunity for faith to deliver the miracle. So you say, well, I just wish I wouldn't face such hard things in my life. I wish life was a little easier. Has anybody ever said that? I wish I didn't have to face these difficult things in life. I wish that things would be a little easier. I don't know what I've done to deserve all these tough things. I guess I'm being punished. Has anybody ever said that? But as the presence of faith builds in our life, we see every situation as another way for God to demonstrate how powerful and awesome He is. And so we're not as scared to face situations. We're a little more adventurous to say, God, how are you going to fix this? Because faith is alive. Faith is stirred up. And I can just imagine that Peter, I don't know how many times Peter may have walked by that gate. I don't know how many times that Peter walked by that guy, but probably more than once. But the gift of faith was stirred up in Peter. Let me say it this way, that prayer is the gas tank of faith. Prayer is the gas tank of faith. You could have the greatest car, you could have a brand new car, but if gas isn't in the tank, it's not going anywhere. And so our faith is fueled by prayer. We must have prayer in the gas tank. And as we do, we've got the fuel to fuel the faith that God has put in our life. The second thing, how can we increase our faith, is our attention must be on God. Our attention must be on God. That's why many times somebody will come and pray for you, and they'll see something happen. They'll see an answer to that prayer request because their faith is actually the one bringing the answer instead of my faith. Because why? Because my focus is on the need. My focus is on how I'm hurting. My focus is on my loved one is dying. My focus is on this is a bad situation. What in the world am I going to do? Their focus is on God. They come to pray for me. You say, well, why can't I pray and see God move? Why can't God do miracles in my life? He can if your focus is on God. And so many times our focus winds up being on the situation more than on God. Yeah, we need a miracle here. We need God to do something in this life. We need God to bring about a miracle here. But that's not our focus. Our focus is on the answer. And our focus should be on God, not on the need. Well, what if God doesn't come through? What if? And our tendency tends to be more on the need than on God. But our faith will increase the more we look at God. The more we read the truth out of God's word, how awesome God is and what God can do, and there's no limit to God, even when the devil is staring him in the face. The more we believe, the more we trust God, that our attention should be on him, that whatever you're facing today, whatever need that you have, God will bring an answer to that thing. Through prayer, God will turn our heart toward him, and our attention needs to be on him. That's why Peter said, look at us. It wasn't that they were wearing new clothes that day and they wanted this lame man to look and see how sharp they were. Man, you are GQing it today. No, it wasn't that at all. It was about they wanted his attention drawn to what the instruction was from God. We'll get to that in a moment. But see, Peter was going to say something that was going to change his life, and he didn't want his attention to be on the next person that he could get their attention to get some more money from. So this lame man is, I'm sure he's asking money from them, but he sees somebody else coming up that, wow, I'm asking you for alms, but I've also got my attention back here on this couple that's coming up here. Maybe I can get some more from them. They look like they can give to my need here. But Peter said, give me your attention. Look at us. Not look at us in a way to who we are, but look at us as the instruction that I'm going to give you from God. Give your attention to what's about to happen here. And so we've got to purposely devote our attention to God, because there'll be many distractions around you to take your attention off of God. Oh boy, we could talk about that for a little bit. Distractions. And every one of us has a distraction. And so that distraction, we've got to learn to train ourselves that even with that distraction, they can't take precedence over God. Something good could be in your life and it could still be a distraction. There's nothing wrong with having fun, golf and fishing and being with the family, and we love doing all those things. But you know what? If they take precedence over God, it is a distraction from God. If God is not priority, and we've talked about this in prior weeks, if God is not the priority, then be careful. Whatever is distracting you could be gone. And so God wants you to have all those things. We read a few weeks ago, we talked about how God wants you to have all these things. Everything. God wants you to have everything. He wants to bless you with everything, but our attention must first be on God. So our attention, even in our healing, even in God filling our need, we've got to have our attention on God. And so God knows us very, very well. He knows me better than I know me. And so he knows my heart in that, God, is this about you or is this just about getting my answer so that I can go do what I want to do? So God, am I truly loving you that I want to devote my life to you? That doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes and fall and stumble. Thank God he's gracious and loving. But we must have our attention on God. Number three, how can we increase our gift of faith? Know God's word breaks limitations. It's God's word that breaks limitations. It's not my words that breaks limitations. I can say whatever, I can try to encourage you, but as far as limitations, God's word is the only word that will break limitations off of your life. Because Peter said, what do I have to give you? In other words, Peter was saying, I don't have anything that I can give you to meet your need. I don't have silver and gold. I don't have anything that's going to change your life, that's going to just totally wreck your life to where you are completely changed and totally and permanently changed forever. Peter said, I don't have anything to give you. But he offered him the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Peter said, rise up and walk. So here's your answer, but it's from the Lord. It's who our attention is on today. It's not from me. I don't have anything to give you. But God's word, the words of Jesus Christ, broke all the limitations on this man's life. Where he was limited to being carried in. I mean, he couldn't walk a bit. He was carried in, the Bible says. He was carried in and sat there and probably did that every single day of his life. Just to make enough money to pay the power bill and buy food and to do whatever he had to do, feed the horse. And so he was there trying to make money and trying to get by and trying to just to make through another day. Does that sound like anybody? If I can just make it through today, oh man, I'm dreading this day, or I'm dreading that meeting, or I'm dreading facing that. It's because we're living by limitations. It's because we see in a box rather than seeing God for how big and awesome he is. God breaks all limitations. Faith and miracles are the results of God's word. If we want faith, if we want miracles, if we want answers, if we have things in our life that we need to have things brought about in our life, it's all because of the word of God. He breaks all limitations. All fear? Are you fearful today? God's word breaks fear off. Are you doubting? Get in God's word. His word breaks all doubt. And fear and doubt are two big ones. They can cripple you. See, Peter was just simply a conduit to God's power. That's what we're to be. We're to be a conduit to God's power. Just let God find somebody, some vessel, some mouth to speak through to bring faith to somebody's life. It says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's where our faith is established anyway. It's not as many great books as there are on the market, and I can give you good books to read and good authors and men that I believe are following God. They're good books, but there is no book like this book. And we're not to read it as a history book. We're not to read it as, well, and it's interesting. You go through some of the Old Testament, and man, there's some stories in there that'll curl your toes. You know, there's some situations that happened that, man, did that really happen in the Bible? But our faith is established even through those stories in the Old Testament to see how powerful and awesome God is. Number four, this is a tough one. We'll spend a minute here. This is a tough one. Patience is vital to faith. Oh boy, you could have talked all day, Mike, but not that. Lack of patience will hinder answers to your prayers. Why? Why is patience so important? Patience is important to faith because we have to have faith in God that the answer will come when he's ready for it to come, not when I'm ready for it to come. You know, wouldn't it be great, we pray and before we open our eyes it was done? Wouldn't that be great? It would be great. But God wants to do something more than just us to treat him like a Santa Claus. I want this, there it is. I want that, there it is. You know, the truth is, many things that I've asked for over the years, if I got it, I would be ruined. I would be toast. I probably wouldn't be here. Right? Haven't we all prayed prayers that, God, do this, God, do that. I know when I was younger and dumber, if had God answered my prayers. And it doesn't matter how old we are. Sometimes at 54 years old, 53 years old, we still pray for dumb things, don't we? And so we have to have the mind of Christ. God, I want your will. And I've learned to pray. God, if it's not your will, I don't want it. You know, why waste any time? Life is short. And you know what? If it's going to bring misery to my life anyway, I don't want it. I trust God. So we've got to have patience in order to have our faith build up. But sometimes we lack patience and then we take matters in our own hands. That's bad enough. But then we go as far as to lose hope altogether. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we've got to continue hope. Well, you don't understand. It's been 20 years that I've been praying for my child. It's been 20 years that I've been praying for this or praying for that, and it still hasn't happened. God doesn't hear my prayer like he hears your prayer. Has anybody ever said that? He hears your prayer. Some answers come sooner. Some answers come later. But when we can patiently wait for God, that means we're actively expecting. You say, well, waiting means I've got to sit still. Well, we can wait patiently, but be expecting actively. I know when Josh and Kendra and Silas and Zelda, Josh is 33, lives in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and a 7-year-old Silas and 4-year-old Zelda, and then Tim and Jordan, they live in Wilmington. Jordan is 29, and little Bailey girl, 3 and a half, she'll be 4 next month. And then little Maddox that is now 3, almost 4 months old now. And so when they're coming, when they call and say, okay, we're going to be there on that date, so our expectation is high. So do we go to the sofa and we sit with our arms crossed and we say, well, they'll be here tomorrow? Or do we actively expect and prepare for them to arrive tomorrow? So our faith and our expectation, yeah, we're waiting on God, but there's also, if we have faith in God, then we're preparing to receive the answer. Is that speaking to anybody? When we have faith in God, there's something that I'm going to do to expect it because I really believe I'm going to get it. I really believe that God's wanting it. If it's not just like I prayed for, it's going to be something that or better. So God never disappoints. Even down to the color. Right? Even down to the color. A few years ago, I was car shopping. And I had picked out the color. I said, I want this color. And I wanted it about a year too old. I didn't want to buy a new car. And so I hadn't planned on telling the story. But I knew what I wanted, and I was shopping, and I went on the internet and saw this car in Jacksonville and had the ugliest interior ever. I mean, I'm a red and black guy. I love black, and I love red because it's Georgia. But we've got other fans here, and so I'm not throw off anybody. And so, but this color was an orange. It was ugly. It was a black car. Well, so we went down to Jacksonville to visit a member in the hospital. And I said, maybe when we leave there, let's just go by that car lot that has that car, you know, just to drop in and see it. And so so we did. We went by there, and the lady came out and told her who it was and said, I'd called about the car, just wanted to come by and look at it. And when she grabbed the handle and opened that car, and it was the beautiful red on the door and red in the seats, I bit my tongue because I didn't want to yell. You know, when you're shopping for a car, you don't want them to know that you really like it. And so my comment was, it's going to be hard to find somebody to buy that car, isn't it? She said, well, I don't know. I didn't dare tell her I was a Georgia dude. Didn't tell her that I liked the Bulldogs, that red and black was. But I had picked the color. You know, God worked out the details to where it's a great car. It's been a great car. It's an answer to my prayer. But see, God can take anything in your life. You can pick it out to the detail of the color, and God will fulfill your heart's desire. But we've got to be patient. We've got to be patient for God to bring that about. Sometimes we move too quick. We want to take things in our own hands, but our faith will align with our preparation to receive. that make sense? Don't confuse patience and laziness. Sometimes those can kind of cross up. So God doesn't want us to be lazy and to sit back and wait. Okay, God, it's been 20 years now. I'm still waiting. I'm still on the sofa. You said you want to do it. But our expectation will have action to it because we're preparing to receive. In Galatians 6:9, it says, don't grow weary while you're doing good. And so there's a tendency. That wouldn't be in the Bible if it wasn't a tendency for me to do that. So there's a tendency for us to grow weary while we're doing good. Well, I've been waiting, and I've been waiting. The children said they were coming tomorrow, but I'm tired of waiting. They haven't got here yet. I know it's not tomorrow yet, but still, that's beside the point. I'm tired of waiting. Don't grow weary while doing good. If patience wasn't vital to faith, why did Jesus spend 33 years on this earth to build up to the promise that he gave us on the cross? We can't say that those 33 years is a waste. Why didn't Jesus go directly to the cross? He was born, goes to the cross, salvation, we're done. But he took 33 years to lead up to the point of the cross? Why? Patience is vital in faith. If patience wasn't vital to faith, then why did Lazarus lay in the tomb for 3 days? He was dead for 3 days. Now, we can say, well, Jesus was at a party. He lost track of time. The train was late getting to him, whatever. But Lazarus was laying in that grave for 3 days. And if patience wasn't vital to faith, that would have been a grave mistake. If patience wasn't vital to faith, why did Noah invest 120 years in building a boat? 120, you know, I can see 12 months building a boat, but not 120 years. Evidently, he wasted some time there somewhere. Why didn't God speed up the process? Well, if you think about this, why did God take 7 days to do everything he created? If God is God, why couldn't he have done it all in one day? We say, well, 7 days is a short amount of time. Not when it's God. He could have done it in 1 second, 7 seconds. Why did he take 7 days? So there's patience. I mean, from the beginning of time, we've got to have patience in the process of faith in God. Our faith in God will always increase by the wheels of patience. That man, probably at the gate, beautiful, had probably been there for some time. He was born that way. You say, we're reading this story, and you say, well, Peter came up to him, and all of a sudden he's healed. That was fast. That was quick. That's the kind of faith that I want to believe God for. Where he walks up, it's done, he's gone, he's healed, he's jumping up, praising God. But what about all the days, weeks, months, and possibly years that this man was sitting there asking for money so that he could possibly go to a doctor to have something done? We don't know how long he waited. But he was that way. He was a man, and he was born that way. How long did he wait for his healing? Why didn't God send Peter by there sooner? Had Peter been that way before, going to the temple? I'm sure. I'm sure he had been that way many, many times before. But still, it happened on that day. Don't let your lack of patience cheat you out of your miracle. Do not give up. It doesn't matter how long it's been. Do not give up. I want to pray that God will activate your faith today. Fifth and last, how can we increase our faith in God? Well, in Acts 3 verses 9, it says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. I believe that praising God continues our faith. Praising God continues our faith. It really keeps our attention on God. Even after receiving the answer, we don't take our attention off God. Thank you, God. I'm good now. Our attention must continue to be on God. Praising God continues faith. Why do we have to continue faith? Because you know what? Out of all the things that I've been through in my life, there possibly may be another thing that I'm in my life that I've got to face, that I've got to have faith in God. As a matter of fact, we need faith in God every single day. And praising God continues our faith. And then the results of that in verse 10 of Acts 3, they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The gift of faith continues as we give praise to God. God, I thank you and I praise you for what you've done, for the place that you've brought me from that place that I was sitting, not able to move. I was bound to my sickness and disease. But God, you raised me up and I praise you for that. All the people recognized that, wow, that was the man that was there and now he's here. And so God changed not only his life, but changed all the other lives. And now I'm repeating that story to you again and praying that it'll change our lives by having faith and praising God for what he's done. See, it takes faith even in my life. In 1984, the day after my 18th birthday, I was lying in bed and my heart rate took, I was watching a basketball game, just remember just as clearly, I was dating Crystal, of course, that may have been part of the heart rate increase. But the night after my birthday, I was laying on the bed and watching a basketball game and my heart just took off. And I had had those sensations before. I never really thought about it because to me it was normal to have those sensations of my heart racing. I never said anything to anybody about it. Well, they rushed me to the hospital, and Dr. Hurley Jones was there. They gave me a shot of lidocaine. The lidocaine brought my heart rate from 300 and something on the verge of massive heart attack, heart failure, brought it back to a regular beat. The next morning, they sent me to Emory University, where Dr. Doug Morris there, they got together, and I was there on the table for several days. They found out that I had the heart of a 90-year-old man with many, many silent heart attacks. The left side of my wall of my heart was completely dead. It's just no effect at all to my heart. It was just completely dead. And so I got the report there at 18 years old that they actually had given me 3 to 5 years to live from age 18. And so obviously I'm here telling you this story today, and I'm a little older than 18. Two children and 4 grandchildren and a wife who's 30. But as I went through a series of meetings with the doctor, they had advised me never to go to work again. And if you know me, I love staying busy. Never to go to work again. And somehow my faith, when they told me that, it increased. I heard it, but it didn't really sink in. And so what it did, it motivated me to prove them wrong. I don't know. That's weird. But it created a faith in me to where I was stronger now than I was then. It could be some part of the stubbornness. But when I go to see Dr. Hurley Jones, has passed away since then, and I've seen both Dr. Certain, Marcia Certain, she's a great doctor, and I've seen Mitchell Jones, who is Dr. Hurley Jones' son. Hurley and Marcia Certain are brother and sister. And so every time I walk into the room, I see Mitchell Jones every year, once a year at least. And when I walk into the room, he shakes his head and he grins. He says, "You're the miracle man. You're the miracle man." So about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, it was in August, Dr. Mitchell Jones says, "Well, Mike, you're 50 now. You're getting a little older. I would feel much better if you had a defibrillator and pacemaker installed." I said, "Well, I don't need it." He said, "But just in case." He said, "Do you ever have sensations of your heart racing again?" I said, "Well, from time to time, I do. And when it does, I just hit my heart like that, and it pops it back into rhythm." And he said, I wish you hadn't told me that." I said, "Well, it works." He said, "Well, what if it doesn't work?" I said, "I'm in heaven." So that's been my attitude to life all these years. You know, the worst thing that can happen, I'm in heaven. And so they made an appointment. Somehow or another, word got to my wife, Crystal, and then word got from her to the children, and then word got from her to my aunt and uncle in North Carolina, and they all came against Mike and said, "You're going to have this done." So they made me an appointment at St. Vincent. Dr. Patterson sat down with me. Evidently, Dr. Patterson's a fine Christian man, and I told him what I just told you, and he was real anxious to get me an appointment to get that thing put in there. But a little after that, maybe 2 years ago, maybe a year after that happened, Dr. Mitchell Jones said, "Mike, I want you to come in. We haven't done a sonogram of your heart lately." He said, "You're doing so well." He said, "What don't you do?" I said, "Well, I do whatever. I'm not limited. I run, swim, walk. I'm fast. And what's that? Play golf. Yeah, play golf, see? That's more of a mental strain." ride the motorcycle. And so he said, come in, we want to set up an appointment for you to, for us to have a sonogram of your heart so we can just take a picture, see what's going on. So they did, and I watching his face was a little weird because he's evidently a poker player and he didn't give away real well through his facial expressions. And so he called me in, and Crystal was there too. He said, what's so strange is that the condition that your heart was in when you were 18 is still the condition of your heart now. Nothing has changed. I just don't see how you're doing what you're doing when I see the picture of your heart on the screen. These two don't match up. He says, but whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And I'm here today to tell you, amen, glory to God. I'm here today to tell you that our faith in God will see you through whatever you face. Life and death, financial difficulties, answers to your prayers, no matter what it is, I want to encourage you today that you stir up, as Timothy said, stir up that gift of faith in you today that you can believe God for whatever you're believing God for. There's nothing impossible with God. We've learned that prayer increases our faith. Our attention must be stayed on God. God's word breaks every limitation. Our patience is vital to faith in God, and praising God continues our faith. We need to have our faith activated, our faith in God. We need to balance faith in God with wisdom that he's given us. Amen? So we use God's wisdom with God's faith, and we can proclaim how great God is by what he does. Many times we take responsibility for saying, I've got to do this. I've got to make sure I do this rather than allowing God to do it. But God says, if you'll trust me and have faith in me, then he will bring the fruit of the answer in your life. He'll do that today. Let's stand together. I want us to look to the Lord this morning. Just close your eyes as you stand. Some of you today are feeling tired. You're feeling like you have nothing left. You have prayed and you've prayed. You feel like you've done everything that you can today. I believe that God wants to activate a fresh faith in your heart today. And I believe it's going to come through the Word of God. It's going to come through us centering and focusing on him and praising him even in the midst of the storm. See, our faith in God, God wants it to be so high and so powerful that even in the storm that we can trust God to bring us out. That even as the three little Hebrew boys walked through that fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they walked through that fiery furnace, they trusted God to bring them through it to the degree that they went into the furnace on their own will. They said, yes, I will go through the fire. Why? Because they trusted God that he would be faithful to bring about the answer. There's a supernatural operation of God's Spirit in you today that he wants to activate. And so as our eyes are closed before him right now, and if you feel like it, just raise your hands to God. Lord, I pray that this word that I've spoken today, there are impossible situations that some are believing for today. And God, it is not able for us to do it, for me to do it, or any person to do it, or even the smartest person in the world to bring this answer. God, it can only come from you. So, Lord, I pray that an activation of our faith will be reignited today. That whatever we're believing for, no matter how great it is, I thank you, Lord, that our faith will be at the level of expectation that the answer is on the way. Now, Lord, I also pray that our patience will be that your timing is perfect. If we don't see the answer at 12:30 today, that we'll still have faith in you. If we don't see the answer by 8:30 tomorrow morning, we'll still have faith in you. If we still don't see the answer in 30 days, we'll still have faith in you. Lord, I pray that our faith level today will increase, that it's not based on the circumstance. It's not based on what we know or what we think or our intellect, but God, it's based on how great and how awesome you are, Lord God Almighty, how powerful you are. So, Lord, I pray that your praise will forever be on our lips, that will praise you continually, that will not give up, that will continue in you, Lord, like never before. Give us a new fire, God, for expectation in you. And Lord, I pray that fire spread, not just in us, But just as it spread by this man that was lying there at the gate, beautiful, and he regained the or gained the ability to walk and to jump and to worship you, Lord, I pray that that same enthusiasm will infiltrate our hearts and spirits today, and that it will spread like salvation. It'll spread like your spirit, Lord. Crystal, come stand with me today. We love you so much. I'm not going to ask you to come up. But we're in unity with you today. We're in unity with you and believing that God's going to bring it about in your life, that you don't lose heart, that you don't lose faith, that you don't lose sight of how great God is. And so we're standing with you today. Know that we love you and that you're in our daily prayers, that God will bring about in you something bigger than you. See, we don't need to be limited by who we are. We need to be unlimited by how big God is. And so, Father, I thank you today that as Chris and I stand in unity with these your people, Lord, and this wonderful, awesome church, and our guests that who are with us today, Lord, I thank you for each one being here today. But, Lord, I thank you most of all that you are here today, that you hear our hearts cry, that you hear where we are, and that you know where we're headed. And, God, I thank you that your answer is much bigger than what we think will solve our problems, because it's unlimited by your hand today. So, Lord, I pray that we'll be infused by your faith, by faith in you today, to trust you for the impossible. I pray you now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you. Love you. Have an awesome day. See you next Sunday.